not turning up the volume of the 1KC sine wave modulation rate as they start turning up its magnitude, so that the peak-to-peak deviation of the FM signal increases, you'll notice that the carrier becomes weaker and weaker, and there is an extremely specific amount of FM deviation, 2.4 kilohertz, 5.5 kilohertz, these very special numbers where the carrier goes through zero in amplitude, and at that very specific amount of FM deviation, all the power is in the side lobes, and none of it's in the carrier. But that's a calibration procedure. Many of us don't see that. That's a way of calibrating your FM deviation ratios and whatever. But you're going to get a number of side lobes, and all those side lobes will be 1 kilohertz wide. The magic of FM, and the problem that FM really was created when this guy, Edwin Howard Armstrong, made a presentation before the early version of the IEEE, which was called IRE, Institute of Radio Engineers, in 1935. He made what was then an extremely controversial, he made an extremely controversial presentation. He was saying, you guys have been using amplitude modulated transmitters ever since the beginning of radio. And I've got this new high fidelity technique called FM modulation. I'm going to wiggle the carrier up and down as a way of modulating it instead of wiggling the amplitude up and down. He makes this presentation in 1935, and boy, did he start a furor. Because the mathematicians said, wow, the complicated way I've got to calculate that, they eventually came up with Bessel and Bessel-Neumann and whatever functions. But the Bessel functions are very complicated kind of mathematics that has a whole lot of infinite series to it. It turns out that whenever you angular modulate a carrier, whether you call it phase modulation or frequency modulation, minor detail, whenever you do angular modulation, they call it, of a carrier, the total number of side lobes you generate, in my example, they would all be 1 kilohertz, you're about to ask, how far would they go? A common sense guy would say, if I'm deviating plus or minus 5 kilohertz, I'm going to have 5 side lobes up above the carrier, 5 side lobes down at lower frequencies than the carrier. Good common sense. You go through the Bessel functions, you'll find out the total number of side lobes you create is an infinite number. They happen to, beyond a certain point, to get weak real fast, but there's an infinite number of them. The mathematicians at the time said, you can't do this, Mr. Armstrong. You're trying to make an infinite number of carriers, infinite amount of bandwidth. We can't allocate that to you. You can't transmit it. We can't receive it. You're not going to get a frequency allocation. You can't do that. You've got a loser of an idea here. Lots of smart people, good smart mathematicians, told him that. And he basically said in his own way, he was more diplomatic about it, but his main message was, the guy who says it can't be done should get the hell out of the way of the guy who's doing it. He had an operating system in his laboratory. He went the next step and built that beautiful 330-foot-high tower in Alpine, New Jersey, and he set up FM transmitters, transmitting. He got an FCC allocation between 42 and 48 megacycles, all of these individual channels, 200 KC wide, and he did it. And it worked like a charm. So, even though the number of side lobes does go to infinity, in this particular example, they go out to 5, 6 kilohertz above and below, all exactly 1 kilohertz spaced in my example, but beyond that, they start falling off real fast. And you go to those mathematics and that curve called Bessel, and you, once you know the amount of FM deviation and the rate of deviation, you now know the exact amplitude of every one of those individual side lobes. And by the way, the carrier goes through a null multiple times. The carrier becomes negative in phase between 2 kilohertz of deviation and 5 kilohertz of deviation, then goes back positive, and it keeps alternating. You're about to say, how in the world can this transmitter that's trying its damnedest to put out a 1 megacycle wave, and I'm making the wave sweep up and down, how in the world can the carrier go to zero? Let me tell you what that spectrum analyzer is doing. There's different ways of building a spectrum analyzer, but you could say a spectrum analyzer is a whole bunch of individual fine-tuned filters. One of those filters is sitting at exactly 1 megacycle center frequency, and it's only 100 KC wide. 100 hertz wide, in my example. And maybe you make it 10 hertz wide. But you got one very narrow filter at 1 megacycle, looking at the carrier magnitude. Now this FM modulated signal is sweeping back and forth, and it spends a little bit of time inside of that filter, but a hell of a lot of time outside that filter. Each time you swipe across that filter, you're putting some energy into it. At certain sweep rates and certain sweep magnitudes, the amount of time you spend on the filter and the phase angle that the filter was at, the filter was a great big flywheel. At certain amounts of deviation ratio, which is it's actually called modulation index, at certain amounts of deviation at certain rates, you swipe across the filter on the way up, you swipe across the filter on the way down, and those two swipes are out of phase. And the filter goes to zero amplitude. That's the first carrier null. So the mathematics predicts that. The real world of a spectrum analyzer predicts that. I wonder if you've heard any of this jazz so far before, Glenn, or you've been exposed to some of this for the first time. KC2QIQ, K2RIW on the TechNet.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Dick, that, you know, a lot of this stuff I've kind of known it in theory already, and but you certainly explain it eloquently. And, you know, there again, because it's not something I use every day, so to speak. It is interesting, and, you know, and I like the way that you're explaining it, too, as well, because it certainly makes the picture a lot more clear. You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of people out there really haven't or used spectrum analyzers and don't have their hands on that equipment, but, you know, the real visual approach to a lot of this stuff is really fantastic when you can use this equipment and look at it. But now you've got me interested here. I'm going to probably actually set one up and do some of those measurements with FM and take a peek at it. Back over to you, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
That is a big, great big reason why I'm going here. Sitting now in Richmond County is an extremely beautiful instrument, one of my favorites, Hewlett-Packard 3561 Dynamic Signal Analyzer. And properly used, that thing can do magic. When that looks at an FM signal on the IF strip that's been translated down to its frequency, it can only measure 0 to 100 KC. But if I've only got 5 KC of deviation, I've got the right kind of a mixer that does the frequency translation, I can make the signal fall somewhere in the middle of that range of a dynamic signal analyzer, and I can look at the signal. And if I looked at a 5 KC deviated FM modulated carrier, doesn't matter what the carrier center frequency is, but I've got 5 KC of FM deviation at a 1 kilohertz rate, and you look at those curves, you go up to any good book like the Reference Data for Radio Engineers or the Terman book, any of these books that talk about Bessel functions, they display it as a graph or as a great big spreadsheet, and you look at various amounts of FM deviation. It's called modulation index. The magic of all of this jazz is that if you take the peak deviation and divide it by the rate, they call it delta F over F sub N, and they give that a value called beta, which is modulation index, FM modulation index, or angular modulation index. And once you know the angular modulation index, it allows you to go to the right horizontal axis of that graph. Let me drop. Or it allows you to go to the right vertical section on the spreadsheet, and then you read the numbers. And what you'll read for 5 KC of deviation, that's the delta, F, that's the one on top, 1 KC rate, that's on the bottom. I divide 5 by 1, I've got a modulation index of 5. They call it beta 5. It's the units of radians. It turns out the peak phase deviation of that transmitter will be 5 radians. Each radian is a certain number, 57 point some odd degrees. So that's what's really going on. But you look at the modulation index of 5, you'll find that the carrier, which used to be unity relative, went down to minus 0.1776 in volts, minus 15 dB. So the carrier, because your spectrum analyzer doesn't know the difference between an in-phase carrier and an out-of-phase carrier, it just looks at total magnitude of power at that frequency, 1 megacycle in my case. So the center of the screen, you'll watch the carrier go down negative, and it'll be 15 dB weaker than it was before. Those first two side lobes, the upper side lobe is going to be positive, the lower first side lobe, 1 KC away, is going to be negative, and each one of them is going to be 9.7 dB down, then the carrier reference, and so on. And each of these side lobes. By the way, as you slowly turn up the FM deviation, you'll see something really weird happening on the screen. When the spectrum analyzer is set for a res bandwidth that's narrow enough so it can pick out the individual spectral line components. They're all exactly 1 kc separated. Let me drop. And you've got enough res bandwidth, 100 hertz in my example, so you can see the individual lines without them smearing together. As you slowly turn up the FM magnitude, you haven't changed the rate, it's always 1 kc, but you're slowly changing the volume control between 0 and 5 kc of deviation, you'll see something very wild happening. You'll watch the carrier get weak, go through 0, and start coming back. You'll see that happen a couple times. You'll watch the first side lobes come up from 0, and then eventually they start going back down. The second side lobes start coming up from 0, and they eventually start going back down. Each of these individual side lobes, when you're looking at a total power spectrum analyzer that doesn't care about phase, you'll see them all come up and down in pairs in a very weird arrangement. Mathematically, it's explained, the Bessel curves on those math books or on that reference data for radio engineers tells you what that magnitude is going to be. And bear in mind, let me drop. That all the mathematics is worked out for voltage. None of it is in power. And none of the graphs make that clear. All of these studies are voltage studies. So any voltage they tell you, where they tell you the first side lobe is going to be a magnitude 0.3276. That's the one, 1 kc up and 1 kc down, 0.3276. That's a voltage. You take the log of that to the base 10, multiply it by 20 to convert it to decibels, and it's 9.7 dB down, and so on. The second side lobe is going to be 0.05 volts, 0.0466 is the exact number, 26.6 dB down, and so on. As you slowly turn the magnitude, you watch the carrier bobbing up and down, you watch the first pair of side lobes, one above and one below, 1 kc away, you watch them bobbing up and down, the second side lobes bobbing up and down, not in relation to each other. They got their own, they're all dancing to their own tune. It's a complicated signal. The bottom line of all this is that's the way FM works. It's this complicated infinite series mathematics called Bessel functions. And I've set them up on a computer so you can calculate these numbers to 12 decimal places. And there's a reason why I needed to do that for a particular project goes on one day. Let me drop. So what I'm getting at is looking at the raw FM signal on a spectrum analyzer, very complicated. It takes a computer program to look at all of those individual side lobes, figure out their magnitude, figure out their relationship, go to this very special program that's doing the reverse process of that infinite series called Bessel function, and eventually figure out, oh, and that crazy Dick, he's using a 1 kc generator and he's got 5 kc of deviation on it. It can be done. Damn difficult. However, take that very complicated signal that you see on the spectrum analyzer screen, plug it into a good limiter discriminator, and what comes out? A pure 1 kilohertz sine wave and nothing else. To look at the output of a discriminator on a dynamic signal analyzer and figure out whether or not there's a fundamental of the original modulation, the 1 kc signal. Did the 1 kc signal have a little bit of 2 kc in it because there wasn't a pure enough sine wave there? To look at the output of a discriminator on a dynamic signal analyzer, very simple, very direct. To look at the signal, the raw signal in the IF strip, where you're looking at these individual Bessel functions. All the information is there. That's really looking through a glass darkly. It's a very complicated signal. And as I said, with difficulty, you could write a program that could figure what's going on. This is one of these cases where you don't want to do that. Put it into a good discriminator and the problem goes away. Do you see where I'm going on this one, Glenn? KC2QIQ, K2LIW. That was a triple Glenn first. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes, I do, Dick. Actually, the one area that's not clear to me, though, is, I mean, I understand how the discriminator works. And, kind of looks like a bridge rectifier kind of thing where you're basically putting in, a carrier oscillator on one side and then the difference signal. And then that's basically just, it separates the, it discriminates the difference between the two and gives you the single output frequency for the modulation. But that's, you know, one way of demodulating. But then we were talking about slope detection. And I was just wondering that if you had a very low frequency modulation on a carrier, that why is the slope detection so poor? In other words, I would think that, you know, for a simple number of components, if you just wanted to look at something on the output of an IF and, you know, get something there that, you know, you might be able to even view with an oscilloscope, why would that be so poor? I'm really not too sure about that, so I'm going to pass that back to you, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Good question, but I've got to answer it in two separate sections. Remember I told you on the spectrum analyzer screen there's at least two different, very different kinds of display you can get with what appears to be proper setting of the spectrum analyzer. I'm not going to change the amplitude settings of the spectrum analyzer. I'm not going to change the sweep width. 20 kilohertz is across the screen, and full amplitude at the top is the carrier before it was modulated. If now I'm not smart enough to realize that the signal is being modulated at a 1 kilohertz rate, and everything about mathematics tells me that no matter what my modulation is, angular modulation, amplitude modulation, whatever, as long as the modulating process is linear, doesn't contain flat topping, distortion, crossover distortion, and whatever, doesn't contain weird harmonics of the modulating signal, as long as it's a linear process, all the mathematics and all the physics tells you that the individual spectral components in this example must be exactly 1 kilohertz separated and no other values of signal is allowed. Those are 1 kilohertz eigenvalues, you could say. And therefore, if you set the spectrum analyzer with a 100 hertz resolution bandwidth, it resolves the individual components, and life becomes simple as far as the display of the Fourier series, you could call it, spectral components. It's not a Fourier series, it's a Bessel, but it's like a Fourier series. If, by the way, when you set a spectrum analyzer with a 100 hertz res bandwidth, an ordinary sweeping spectrum analyzer, let me drop this. By definition, it must sweep very slowly across the screen, not to be impulse responding the res bandwidth filter of the analyzer. So it sweeps slowly. Therefore, you're getting a very slow display on the screen, and your update rate is terrible. You change any of the controls, you have to sit back for a few seconds and wait for it all to settle to find out what's going on. Nobody wants a settle analyzer that way. The most likely setting of the spectrum analyzer to look at the signal would be about a 5 kilohertz res bandwidth filter. You sweep across that FM output of this example with a 5 KC res bandwidth filter. Those individual spectral components that I just described are absolutely there. Their magnitude, their spacing is absolutely predictable to 12 decimal places if you want to. They are thoroughly deterministic. But now you've got a 5 KC res bandwidth filter, which is looking at individual spectral components that are 5 KC, 1 KC apart. Therefore, the filter has at least 5 signals in the filter at each instant of time, and those individual 5 spectral components are beating against each other in that 5 KC wide filter. You look at that FM modulation with that typical setting of a spectrum analyzer, where you're getting a nice fast update rate. You see a great big blob of noise in the middle of the screen. That blob of noise will be 5 KC up, 5 KC down. You would think the blob of noise would be 10 KC wide. For a bunch of reasons, I haven't gone there yet, what you're going to see on the screen is going to be roughly 15 kilohertz wide, but it's pure noise. It's got a specific magnitude, doesn't go anywhere near the top of the screen. The total energy there is the same power you started off with the unmodulated carrier. The total energy hasn't changed. It just now becomes smeared horizontally, roughly 15 kilohertz, and inside of the 15 kilohertz window, it's a nice chunk of noise, which has a particular envelope shape to it that a smart guy with a whole lot of experience...
Repeater, timeout, cancel.
A smart guy with a whole lot of experience will recognize that shape and say, yep, that's an FM modulated signal not being properly resolved, which is the way you might do it under certain circumstances, and that's good enough. So it'll look like noise because at every instant of time, the filter is looking at a minimum of 5 spectral components that are beating against each other, and as the spectrum analyzer, by the way, the signal itself on the screen is absolutely steady. In other words, every one of those individual spectral components is not moving in amplitude, not moving in frequency. They sit absolutely steady. You could, if you want to, start off with a whole lot of individual signal generators that all have a common reference oscillator, you know, and they're all phase-locked signal generators, and set them on those individual spectral component frequencies, set them at the right phase and the right amplitude, and pour them all together into a great big power summing device. Guess what would come out? An FM modulated signal. Each individual signal generator is not being changed in any way in amplitude, phase, frequency, whatever. Every one of those individual signal generators is sitting absolutely steady. You combine all of them, take roughly 15 signal generators, combine them just right, and out comes an FM wave. You've now reversed the process. Ain't that crazy? On top of that, the reason why the signal on the screen looks noisy on the spectrum analyzer with the 5 TC wide res bandwidth filter, let me drop.
I don't think you answered this question.
It's not his question, it's my question. The reason why the signal on the screen looks noisy is two reasons. Number one, five individual components at every instant of time are beating against each other. As the spectrum analyzer sweeps across the screen, as it goes up one more KC higher, it picks up one more spectral line on the high side, drops one of the spectral lines on the low side. It's got a brand new mix of amplitudes and phases, and at that instant of time, it comes up with a brand new sum. So as the spectrum analyzer with the 5 KC filter sweeps across the screen, what you see looks like noise. But ain't that amazing that I could start off with 15 steady-state SIG generators, combine them, and out comes an FM wave? You'd be amazed how many people will say, no way in hell. You might have a comment on this one, Glenn. KC2QIQ, K2LIW.
Well, you know, it just reminds me of going back and, you know, different, you know, transceivers over the years that I've looked at, and, you know, some of the advertisements would call the transmitters as being FM transmissions, and the other ones were called phase-modulated transmissions. And I think that the FM was kind of defined as being, okay, rocking the VCO, the variable oscillator, back and forth, and that's what gave you the FM. And the phase modulation was kind of like being described as, like you said, mixing from a fixed carrier signal and adding the signal. So in other words, one was like a summing as opposed to just, you know, rocking the a fixed VCO back and forth. Kind of like making a definition of what phase modulation was as opposed to frequency modulation. Back to the K2RW, KC2QIQ.
There are two ways of skinning a cat.
Now, I told you there's two things I had to give you in order to answer your question. I'm getting there. Modulation index of FM. In the case of FM, there's no clear definition of what is 100% modulation. In the case of AM, when you pinch down the carrier to a zero on the valleys and double its voltage on the peaks, you call that 100% modulation. And you can't go beyond that and still have a linear process. In the case of phase modulation, I could make a transmitter and receiver that likes plus or minus 5 KC of deviation. I can make an FM transmitter and receiver that likes plus or minus 75 kilohertz of FM deviation. That's called FM broadcast, between 88 and 108 megacycles. Which one is 100% modulation? The answer is both of them. It's a matter of your design. But the thing that's in common is you take the delta F divided by F sub M, delta F over F sub M. In other words, the amount of peak-to-peak deviation of the frequency divided by the rate at which you do it. In my KC, in my example here, 5 KC of deviation with a 1 KC sine wave, that's a modulation index of 5. It's called beta of 5. If at the instant of time the signal was just approached 5 KC up on its sine wave of FM modulation, at that instant of time, I'm measuring the phase angle of that carrier that's being transmitted. And by the way, at each instant of time, there really is only one signal there that's waving around. As far as a spectral series is concerned, you create these individual components, 1 KC apart. There really is only one signal moving. If you had a different kind of instrumentation that could instantaneously follow that signal, a very fast-acting lock-in amplifier, and you try to find out how many signals are there, The answer is one. All of those 15 individual carrier components, as far as a spectrum analyzer is concerned.
Repeater, timeout, cancel.
The 15 individual components, as far as the mathematics and the spectrum analyzer is concerned, is really being combined into one single signal that's moving. If I had a very fast-acting lock-in amplifier, I could follow that one single signal as it goes up 5 kc and down 5 kc and keeps repeating that process 1,000 times per second, the 1 kc modulation. There's really only one signal there. Lots of ways of representing it. The discriminator takes that one signal and converts it into what you and I call audio. Your IF strip may be running at 455 kc. The discriminator is running at 455 kc. He's looking for a plus or minus 5 kc of deviation. He makes it into a plus or minus 1 volt sine wave at a 1 kc rate. He takes that one single signal through his limiter discriminator and with high fidelity gives you back the original modulation that went into the microphone of that transmitter, so to speak. Nice, simple signal. A slope detector is operating on the slope of a Gaussian filter. You know what an individual one-pole filter looks like. It's got a Gaussian shape of its amplitude versus frequency. Let me drop.
Something.
In order to slope detect that, you want to find the linear portion of that Gaussian shape curve. It doesn't exist. The Gaussian shape curve, the left-hand skirt and the right-hand skirt, is a continuously changing curve. You can slope detect if you want. You're going to get distortion up the kazoo. There is no linear portion to it. You and I could design a zillion-pole filter that has a linear skirt. It's called discriminator. And by the way, remember I told you we've got a modulation index of 5. Delta F is 5 kc. Rate is 5, 1 kilohertz. Divide the 2 is 5. 5 radians is the peak deviation. Is that phase modulation or frequency modulation? The answer is yes. If I'm not changing the frequency of modulation, and I'm not changing the amplitude, a modulation index of 5 phase transmitter and a modulation index of 5 frequency transmitter will give you, by all reasonable detecting techniques, the exact same signal. You can't tell the difference. If you knew the exact reference oscillator that's inside of the transmitter, if that information was transmitted to you so that your instrumentation is now measuring exact phase of carrier and modulation, yes, the phase modulator and the frequency modulator at exactly 5 kc of deviation with the exact same modulation index, one is 90 degrees out of phase with the other, but that's a minor detail. Spectral-wise, they're identical. Now, with that phase transmitter, if I decide to modulate at 2 kc instead of 1 kc, the amount of phase deviation, the modulation index, does not change. In the case of frequency modulation, the delta F over F sub M, the ratio changes. I've now got 5 kc, 5 modulation index of 5, just went down to 2.
Repeater, timeout, cancel.
So when I go to the higher KC, 2 KC of FM modulation, 2 KC rate, the FM modulator will give you a softer sounding signal. The modulation index will be changing. So phase versus frequency modulation, one is the integration of the other of the basic modulating signal, the 1 KC signal. If I integrate the audio before the whole bandwidth of audio from my loudspeaker, from my microphone and my voice, so to speak, if I go to an integrator and then put it into the phase modulator, I'm making FM. If I don't integrate it and put it into the phase modulator, I'm making phase modulation. So they change as a function of high or low frequency notes being transmitted, but at each individual modulation index of each individual single tone, the spectrum is the same. The discriminator is a beautiful linear device by the way it's designed, that when the frequency goes up and goes down with its crazy waveform of the sine wave going in or the complicated waveform of my speech going into it, a whole lot of individual spectral components, out of that discriminator comes that exact waveform. You do that with a slope detector. on a Gaussian-shaped filter, which nowhere is linear, you're going to have a whole lot of distortion is one problem, and you're going to have a lousy signal-to-noise ratio and lousy sensitivity is the other problem, and you're very amplitude-sensitive because you're not using a discriminator the right way. So it only sounds bad and works bad. Other than that, it's pretty good. A slope detector is a poor man's way of getting something out of an FM signal when you got nothing else. If you've got a discriminator, my goodness, use it. KC2QIQ, K2LIW.
Something, K2KE1.
Mel first, and then, I mean, Glenn first, and then Mel in that order. Go ahead, Glenn.
K2LIE2EJ.
Okay, I think everybody recognized. I'll pass it back to Dick after this one. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting. But, you know, I kind of realized the limitations of the slope detector. But I guess what one of the things that John and I were looking at was looking at a specific frequency. In other words, if I wanted something just to look at a narrow-banded, like, let's say if I wanted to just detect 1 kilohertz only. So, in other words, if you had a lot of other modulation around it, and I just wanted to kind of like have the slope detector just kind of optimized around 1 kilohertz and then have roll-off on both sides so that basically what I'm doing is just slope detecting and looking for this 1 kilohertz signal and having everything roll-off, so maybe the linearity wouldn't be so much of a requirement anymore. But then again, if I had the another detector, I'm not sure that you could really do that unless without a tremendous amount of filtering after. In other words, how could you just look at one individual frequency? Straighten me out here, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Way back at the original discussion you and I had on this subject, and you and a small group of people, roughly 2 months ago, where we're looking for the characteristics of a particular single tone. When that single tone is going into an FM transmitter and eventually goes into a receiver and comes out of a discriminator, a properly operating discriminator, that individual tone and any characteristics it picked up out of the discriminator into a dynamic signal analyzer, very easy to recognize, very easy to measure. You look at the raw spectrum that you see with a spectrum analyzer at the IF strip. It's this very complicated signal. And as I change the characteristics of the original modulation of that single tone, those individual spectral side lobes go up and down in amplitude and change in phase and whatever. They change in a very complicated way. An extremely fancy computer program could make some sense out of it. You don't want to analyze it there. It's very similar to, I've got this computer, and the computer takes all these fancy binary bits, zillions of them, a gigabit of them flowing by every 10 minutes, so to speak, puts it all through a great process and eventually comes out a movie on the screen. I have the choice of watching the movie, or I could look at the bits flying by. Right away, you know which one has got more intelligence as far as I'm concerned. That's sort of what we're talking about here. Now, we've got Mel, Eric, and Joe in that order who wanted to sign in with some comments. Mel, go right ahead. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Okay, this is K2KEY. Well, let's back this all up. Let's first of all separate frequency modulation and phase modulation in a different way. You said modulation index. You meant carrier frequency deviation divided by the modulating frequency. Am I correct? Is this what you're referring to, first of all, Dick? Over.
I have in my hand the defining book on the subject, written by Mr. Hund, H-U-N-D, McGraw-Hill book, 1942, written to defend Mr. Edwin Howard Armstrong because of his 1936 presentation of the IEEE. And his book is entitled Frequency Modulation by Hund. I think it's McGraw-Hill. Yes, McGraw-Hill, 1943. That's his definition of modulation index. Delta F over F sub M is my way of putting it into modern language. That modulation index, when I create that modulation index by a phase modulating technique way back at the voltage controlled oscillator, or if I can create it by a frequency modulating technique at the voltage controlled oscillator. As far as the spectral components come out, there is no difference for a single tone. But now when I change that tone, the phase transmitter changes in a way that's different than the frequency transmitter. In other words, I go from a 1kc note to a 2kc note. I will get a louder signal out of the phase modulated transmitter than I would do a frequency modulated transmitter. If you used a frequency discriminator to listen to a phase modulated voice signal, the voice will sound high pitched and squeaky to you. You'll understand what the guy's saying, but it'll sound to you like the whole damn signal of his microphone is put through a high pass filter. It'll sound squeaky, and the lows will be lacking. Over to you, Mel, K2RIW.
Okay, wait a minute now. Just say to me that you agree or disagree so I can go to the next point. Modulation index. Let's use the old language. You said, well, I'm going to use the old language that I used when I had to pass the goddamn first-class radio license to graduate from Brooklyn Tech. Modulation index of FM is carrier frequency deviation divided by the modulating frequency. Correct or not correct? In old-fashioned pure language, over.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. That's exactly right. Old language, new language, it hasn't changed. But that modulation index, delta F over F sub M, is in units of radians of instantaneous phase shift of the carrier when compared to a reference that wasn't modulated. So now, if I take 5 radians of FM modulation, or 5 radians of phase modulation, it's the exact same modulation. What comes out of that transmitter, you can't tell the difference under normal circumstances. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Hey, now let's go to this TF, phase modulation. The modulation index, phase modulation, the index is constant regardless of the modulating frequency. Is that correct? In comparison to FM, it varies with the modulating frequency. In other words, phase modulation, the modulation index is constant, whereas in the frequency modulation, it varies with the modulating frequency. Is that a correct statement, over?
Give that man a cigar. Absolutely right. So in the case of standard broadcast, plus or minus 75 KC, and the nice thing about standard broadcast, so-called high fidelity FM, 88 to 108 megs, there the audio does go up as high as 15 kilohertz. 15 kilohertz of full modulation, plus or minus 75 KC, is a modulation index of 15 radians. If the orchestra is not playing a 15 KC note, but is playing a 1.5 KC note, that FM transmitter doesn't have a modulation index of 15, it's got a modulation index of 150. Those individual spectral side lobes move around in a very fancy way in the FM transmitter. So you're absolutely right. The modulation index goes up and down like crazy with an FM modulator. It stays constant with a phase modulator. You've got it right. Over to you, Mel.
Okay. Now let me make the next statement here so we get this all straight, because we're going into a lot of different factors. So I'll take it step by step. In an FM system, let's talk about now an FM system, the ratio of the maximum carrier frequency deviation. Maximum carrier frequency deviation. I gotta get this right in my head. It's a long time since I thought of this. To the highest modulating frequency. Pairing. Alright, we have the FM, we have the maximum carrier frequency deviation to the highest modulating frequency is called the deviation ratio. Is that correct? Over.
I think that's correct. And the nice thing about FM is that the width of the signal, whether I'm transmitting the high frequency notes of the music or the low frequency notes of the music, the width of the signal stays the same per se. If it was a phase modulated transmitter, the high frequency notes coming out of the orchestra would make a much wider signal than the low frequency notes. Over to you, Mel.
Okay, I'm not going to go near the narrow band FM or PM at this point, or approaching it. The discriminator, when you talked about the discriminator, that characteristic curve, I think you're trying to allude to the S curve of a FM discriminator, over.
Yes, I am. If I take a properly designed IF strip with its bandpass filter, limiter, discriminator, and I sweep it DC to light, in other words, I sweep it way below the IF center frequency and way above the IF center frequency, I'm both out of band and in band, and if I sweep that curve, it gives me a characteristic S curve, S for Sierra, S curve. It's only the linear portion of the middle of that S curve that ever really gets used in a properly designed receiver. And that linear portion in the center is an extremely straight line of voltage out versus individual instantaneous frequency of carrier going into it. So it's that very linear portion of the S-curve that gets used in the receiver, and the outer portion, in theory, never gets used. Over to you, Mel.
Exactly. So if we had a modulation index, say, of 3, and we had a carrier of, say, 1.0. At the modulation index going from 0 to 3, as it approaches the 3, if we looked at the S-curve, as it approaches the 3, it would actually almost be going down to the baseline. Correct? Over.
Okay, now we got to be careful. In the case of an FM modulator, and that's what the discriminator you're describing has been designed for, a frequency modulation demodulating discriminator is made for the FM environment. It takes a different circuit made for the phase transmitter and phase receiving environment. So in an FM transmitter, an FM receiver properly designed so that the two are married and work together nicely, as long as I don't change the gain of the audio circuit of that orchestra playing my signal into that microphone, whether that orchestra is playing a low note or a high note on FM, what I see in my spectrum analyzer looking at the IF strip of the receiver has approximately the same width if it's a freq modulated transmitter. Broadcast almost never uses a phase modulated transmitter because the high frequency notes would be squeezing over into the adjacent channels. It would be so wide, and the low frequency notes wouldn't be using the system correctly. So you can see a bunch of reasons why in certain computer environments, phase modulation has got some advantage. When it comes to high fidelity broadcast over the air, I am predicting you will never see a phase modulated signal. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Actually, in fact, I'm going to tell you, now let's stay with ham radio. This is K2KEY. So let's talk about ham radio and the derivation of FM and where it started and how, what, and where about it. There were experiments, believe it or not, before single sideband, there was talk about using FM on bands like 80 meters. And what happened? And I'll give you a very good example of what happened. For instance, if you were modulating at 3.5 megahertz and 80 meters, and the final output, let's say that you were using is 28 megahertz. In other words, most of the systems, remember, amateur radio, all the bands are you know, are related to each other. So if we went then 8 times in the final output, we went to 28 megahertz, and the frequency was multiplied now by 8 times. So we started out with a deviation, an FM deviation of 500 hertz at 3.5. When we got to 28 megahertz, we'd be at 4,000 hertz, Dick, over.
Exactly right. The nice thing, or the bad thing, about a FM modulated signal is that if you multiply its frequency, the amount of peak-to-peak deviation also multiplies by the exact same number. That's if you're using a simple multiplication scheme. If you're using a super heterodyne scheme where you had a common IF in the transmitter, and then you mix it down to 80 meters or up to 28 megs, that wouldn't matter. With modern-day multi-conversion transmitters and receivers, there's a simple solution. But in the old days, where we didn't have doubly balanced mixers and fancy oscillators and product detectors and whatever, to cover the individual ham bands with the frequency multiplying schemes that hams use on their harmonically related bands, FM would have been a problem. You could have adjusted for that. When you go to the higher bands, where you're using a higher multiplication, you could have cut down the gain into the microphone, so to speak. You could have adjusted for that. That isn't the reason it wasn't popular. There's a whole lot of other reasons. But this poor guy, Edward Howard Armstrong, he killed himself in 1954 because he was running all these lawsuits trying to defend his FM-modulated system and his patents with David Sarnoff, among other people, but Sarnoff in particular, and he thought he was losing his lawsuit. And he's one of these very exacting kind of engineers that couldn't tolerate anything that didn't go his way. And I think he went to the 12th floor of a building in New York City, and an apartment building, and a hotel, and jumped out the window and died. He didn't have to. Smart guy, did some awfully good work. And he was about to win that case. He didn't know it. Sad situation. Let me go to Eric, who wanted to make a comment on all of this jazz. You've worked with FM on your broadcast. The audio for years and years was an FM modulated signal before digital television came along. And
repeater, timeout, repeater, timeout, cancel.
And I bet you've seen a lot of modulated signals with various modulation indexes and fidelities and whatever. KE2EJ, K2RIW.
K2RIW, KE2EJ. Choo-choo train mobile. It's passing through South Carolina again. I just wanted to make a couple points. A, never use phase modulation. We also have, we used to in television have a couple of different set periods, which are AM in nature, piggyback on the signal, and of course, stereo FM has its pilot, and also an SDA, and now also a digital, which actually reads out the music playing, but one particular point for hams is that most of these numbers hams should know. So a 5 kilohertz of deviation with a deviation index of 2.4, exactly 2.4048, use an audio signal of 2079.17 hertz and look for the first null, and that is precisely 5 kilohertz deviation. The other thing is, I didn't hear you talk about ratio detectors, that's one thing, and the other thing that we use in FM these days, that's the clock loop to extract audio, K2RW, K2J.
Yeah, when it comes to demodulating an FM modulated signal, there's about 4 ways of doing it. Foster-Seeley discriminator, ratio detector, Travis detector, and slope detector. And various people like Foster-Seeley or ratio better than the other as to how much limiting is required in front of it, and various people were arguing over that over the years. But either of those, Foster-Seeley or ratio detector, when properly implemented, give you an extremely linear signal, high fidelity signal, and it adds no extra personality to that which was transmitted. So it's a very good receiver technique. Whereas the slope detector and the Travis discriminator is one of these discriminators that has one coil tuned high, one coil tuned low, and the rectification rectification of the two coils and get some together, but one coil is rectified with a positive phase, the other one's rectified with a negative diode detector, and properly adjusted, they do a medium good job, but still not as good as a ratio of Foster-Seeley or a ratio detector. This two different schematic diagrams, all of it takes place in what looks like an IF can in the old days. Nowadays, it's all done with fancy circuits, a phase lock loop system. Once you're using a phase lock loop, let me drop. Remember I told you that the actual FM modulated signal on a properly set spectrum analyzer looks like a bunch of individual spectral components. Are there individual spectral components there, or is there one simple sine wave moving up and down? The answer is yes. Just a matter of how you look at it. They're both the exact same signal. And remember I said before you could use a lock-in amplifier to follow that one signal. Well, that's what a phase lock loop frequency discriminator does. It really is a fast-acting lock-in amplifier. It follows the signal. And to follow the signal, its voltage-controlled oscillator of that phase lock loop must get a positive, must get an upgoing and a downgoing signal, if you know what I mean. A more positive voltage when it goes up and a more negative voltage when it goes down. The voltage that you send to the discriminator, that should be a voltage-controlled oscillator in the phase lock loop system. That is the audio output. And once you use a phase lock loop discriminator system, frequency detecting system, you then have the ability to do some other fancy manipulations which give you what's called threshold extension FM. We won't go there right now. But there are ways of getting better sensitivity out of the FM detecting process than a simple Foster-Seeley or ratio detector. And phase lock loops, properly implemented, can do that. And NASA goes one step beyond. Let me drop. NASA uses astronaut audio on a unified S-band system as a kind of FM modulated audio. And they've also, with their phase lock loop detector type system, have recognized that a male voice has certain frequency regions that are required for good intelligence and other frequency regions that are rarely used. And they've got a fancy post-detection filter which favors the used frequencies and doesn't favor the unused frequencies in order to get a better signal-to-noise ratio. And the one question I ask myself is that system was carefully designed for a male voice. Did they have to redesign it or get rid of that fancy filter for a female astronaut? And I think the answer is yes. I think when Sally Ride came along, I think they had to change their circuits, had to redesign their receivers. Okay, Joe went as the next person with a question or comment. W-H-U-L-Y-Y. I wonder if you've ever heard any of this jazz about FM before, Joe. K-2-L-I-W in the TechNet.
And I have a question.
Well, I use FM and phase modulated equipment. My repeater transmitter happens to be a phase modulated transmitter, which is rather interesting because it will not reproduce a very, very low frequency, say something below 20 hertz. It can't do it accurately. And is this an inherent thing with phase modulated transmitters? Because I have noticed that it's very easy for the same transmitter to produce a signal, modulate a signal at an extremely low level audio level at something way above the human hearing range. It's very easy to modulate it. For FM, it doesn't seem to be the case. Is that inherent in the way the thing works, where it doesn't want to go very low, but it's very easy to go very high in frequency with the thing, same audio voltage?
Yeah, let's go back to the early days. Let's start off with the modern day. A modern day FM modulated transmitter could, if you desire to, use an extremely linear voltage-controlled oscillator. You take the audio out of the microphone, tailor it a little bit to 300 hertz to 3.5 kc, so to speak, but the audio is essentially flat going into the voltage-controlled oscillator control port, and out comes pure FM. And for modern-day VCOs that can be made very linear, that works like a charm. In the old days, voltage-controlled oscillators fed with a varactor diode really didn't exist. They could come sort of close with a Miller integrator type thing acting as a varactor diode, but it was nowhere near as nice as a modern-day varactor diode. So they much prefer to use a crystal-controlled oscillator followed by a phase modulator and then the rest of the transmitter. but there's a catch. Let me drop. And that is that circuit that's beyond your crystal-controlled oscillator that's doing the phase modulation can only do a certain amount of phase modulation before it goes bonkers. And maybe it's plus or minus one radian. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but it's limited. And for FM broadcast, where you want plus and minus 75 kilohertz of deviation, and your audio goes all the way down to 50 hertz of hi-fi, I'm guessing maybe it's 20 hertz, I'm not sure, where your modulation index becomes real big numbers, in the hundreds, you can't get anywhere near enough phase modulation to do that. So therefore, what they did is they started off with a very low frequency oscillator into a phase modulator, got this very small amount of FM deviation where the circuit could handle it, then they frequency multiplied the hell out of it before transmitting it in order to get it up to wide enough modulation. If you're taking a audio signal and you wanted to convert it to FM, but you're doing it with a phase modulator, you must integrate the audio first. Integrate the audio means that you're really passing it through a very slow, smooth roll-off low-pass filter. The high-frequency notes, you're giving very little gain to it, maybe a whole lot of loss. And the low-frequency notes, you're giving a tremendous amount of gain. Okay. If your system was designed as a phase modulator, let me drop.
He's dead. Can I ask a simple question?
I'm about to tell Joe the answer to his question as to why it didn't work. And I'm now getting to the punchline. And the punchline is, because you're integrating, and the system was designed for, let me pick a number, 300 hertz of audio up to 3KC. When you force that integrator to operate not as low as 300 hertz, but down to, let me pick a number, 30 hertz, you're asking for 10 times more voltage output from that integrator. If that was done with an operational amplifier, you probably saturated it. And the phase discriminator, the phase modulator, can't tolerate that great big voltage. So there's at least two things that are going to go bonkers when you try to do that with a phase modulating system. You can't go much below its low frequency of audio design without saturating your op amp and without saturating your phase modulator. Does that make some sense so far, Joe? Then I'll turn it over to Mel in a minute. Case WA2RYY, K2RIW.
Yeah, I believe so, because I tried using a low-frequency tone system called DPL on a phase modulated transmitter. It absolutely will not send the code correctly. Even though you look at it, it looks like it's sending the right code. It just simply doesn't have the resolution. And taking that in another direction, another ham acquaintance of mine likes doing things by the seat of his pants, so to speak. And what he did was hooked up a controller to his transmitter, which is also phase modulated, and I told him be careful about the thing being filtered going into a particular point that would let the transmitter produce a PL tone. He got it to produce a PL tone, but because there's some high-frequency energy on the line that come out of this controller produces PL tone at the same time, he was also modulating his transmitter about 150 kHz away from his assigned frequency and bothering somebody else, and it just happens to be the other person who was bothering was the same PL tone as his, and he had no idea what was going on because he was using a phase modulated transmitter.
Yeah, you take a phase modulated transmitter that's made to work with audio down to, let's say, 300 hertz, and you give it a PL tone at, let me pick a number, 88 hertz, because the integrator, if the integrator was properly designed, is probably going to be flat-topping and making square waves. The phase modulator is also going way beyond its design, making square waves. See, now you're transmitting this very complicated signal, which has all kinds of spectral components way outside of your normal channel width, and that's why you found him 150 kc away. The in-close stuff may have looked good on a discriminator, but if you really looked at the waveform, and yet, how would you do that? Yeah. You'd have to put a spectrum analyzer on the output of the phase modulator to know how much trouble you're in. And you'd have to know what you're looking at. But he's taking a system that was not designed for that signal and forcing it through, grunging it, as they say, and he's making square waves and all kinds of yucky waveforms. that are giving him...
Maxwell was visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur...
...that are giving him spectral components way outside.
9126...
The machine will reset in a second, so let me stand by. Okay, Mel, you wanted to make a further comment. K2KEY, K2LAW, go ahead.